Breakfast with Hoff, it's the Big Yawn. Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down. No way, Tom. No way will we do that around these parts. 1-300-652-9270 if you want to get your take on the Big Yawn today, which continues the conversation from the weekend's bumps that have been dealt with by the MRO. Whether or not they've been dealt with appropriately is probably another conversation. But what I wanted to focus on was the responsibility of players to each other and the cohort when they're out there participating. We spoke to Jordan Lewis about this yesterday, Steve-O, and he was talking about the responsibility and that it needs to be conscious for all the players that when they're out there competing as fiercely and as aggressively as they can, which is absolutely mandatory, that they do have a duty of care to their fellow players out there across all teams, not just their own. And there needs to be a conscious decision to keep this really front of mind, particularly given the conversations we're having at the moment regards to head trauma and concussions and the ramifications that these may or may not have for the competition going forward. I just want to go back to listen to what Jake Kelly said. Now, we spoke to Jake Kelly from the Bombers yesterday, and this was something that was sort of came just shot across his bow, but he gave a really strong response. And I just want to go back and have a listen to Jake Kelly from what he said yesterday on Breakfast.
It just doesn't make sense to me that you would choose to bump. One, for the fact that you'll get rubbed out and miss games. And two, for the fact that the person on the other end of it, for me personally, mate, it's difficult because it does give you a bit of trauma for someone who has been hit and knocked out cold. It gives you like trauma, and it's not a nice feeling, especially for your family watching as well. It's not nice. And given what's happened in the last sort of 2 weeks with all these lawsuits and people globally coming out against concussion and saying they've been affected long term, I just think that we as players should be mindful of it.
So that was Jake Kelly yesterday. If you want to have a listen to that whole chat, rsn.net.au is where to find that. Just click on the breakfast tab and you'll find all the action there from Jake Kelly. So that was a really strong stance from a very articulate and intelligent young man who's felt the trauma himself of severe head knocks. And then Craig McRae was talking about it last night on AFL 360 on Fox Footy with Jared and Robbo. And his take was interesting as well. Let's have a listen to the coach of the Magpies.
Having played the game and had multiple concussions, I'm concerned. I'm concerned about the stories you hear. I'm concerned about the welfare of our current players and the future players. So I think anything we can do to support that, I'm all for. Yeah, and again, I don't know what that looks like, but I'm sure that the collective minds will work that out. The game is evolving as it right in front of our eyes, and we want the best for our players.
I'm not sure what that looks like, he said there, which is an interesting comment. I want to just flesh that out for a second, Steve-O. Because there's a great piece by Greg Baum today in The Age who essentially is asking the same question. Craig said, I'm not sure what that looks like. Collective minds will come out, and not the Adelaide camp people, will come out and find a way to deal with this. But will they? That's the question is, will they? So Greg's piece today in The Age asks the question now. Everyone wants the authorities to do something, but what? Longer bans, but how much longer? Tighter rules, leaving no loopholes, but none of the three on the weekend escaped through a loophole clause. Sin bins, red cards, all that sort of stuff. There are options on it. But in the end, it's a massive challenge for the game. And he talks about John O'Callaghan, who's a Melbourne magistrate, broadcaster and sports scholar, who said the aim should be to find ways to ameliorate or eliminate the likelihood of serious head injury while preserving the culture of the game. I don't think we can eliminate the possibility because of the way the game is played, I assume, is what the comment might have been to continue that. So with that being said, where's the AFLPA in all this? Why haven't we heard from Paul Marsh? Why haven't we heard from Patrick Dangerfield? And I know it's only been a couple of days since, but we had two most unusual and reckless and careless and unacceptable actions on the weekend that have been dealt with by the MRO to a degree. We've got the McAdam one still to be dealt with by the tribunal as a result of that. But surely, if we hear Jordan Lewis talk about that the responsibility and duty of care from player to player, and we hear Jake Kelly say that yesterday as well on this program, I'm sure there's been other conversations through other media outlets and through Clubland in the last little while. Why haven't we come out strongly from as a playing cohort, from a players' association perspective, and said, fellas, This is not on. The way this is unfolding, the way this is progressing, the acts that we are performing on each other out there on the field, we're unnecessarily it putting players at risk and is a massive detriment to the, not only your financial, not your immediate health, but your future health as well. I would love to be getting a really strong stance from the Players Association and from the playing cohort that how they're treating each other at the moment out there in the field of battle is unacceptable and something needs to be done, but they need to take charge of it. It's not the game's responsibility. They are the ones that need to take charge.
I think if you're running the AFLPA or in the media department of the AFLPA, it's so... Let's form a strong statement, 6 or 8 paragraphs, and let's get the whole executive to sign it. So each player rep from every club to make a statement on this as soon as possible by the end of the week half on behalf of all the players.
It's got to come out today, doesn't it?
Well, it takes a while to get these things together. But they need to get stronger. I think they're fairly low-key, the AFLPA, these days, aren't they? From a media perspective, they don't get on the front foot too often.
But they're responsible for the cohort and the, the benefit and the welfare and the well-being of the cohort. That's their primary responsibility. Now, they would be saying, with a statement like that, they would be saying that, Cozzy and Shane, fellas, they're going to put them under the bus a bit, but are they prepared to do that for the good of the cohort, for the good of the game? Whilst not, going over the top with their condemnation of it, but saying, fellas, not cool. Any of this is absolutely not cool. We need to be better looking after each other. We've got Taylor Adams coming in tomorrow. I'm really keen to get his take on this. But 1-300-652-927. Paul's in the city. Hello, Paul.
Oh, hi, Huff. Way back, probably even back as far as when you were playing, I remember Australia were going to play against Ireland and Ireland didn't want the bump in the game, but we insisted on it. How times have changed.
Yes,
I do
the
recall.
Irish were miles ahead of it.
Yeah. Is there a chance, Huff, that this is the only way we fix it, take the bump out of the game altogether?
No, can we play footy without
a bump?
I don't think that's the answer.
Would the game be totally different? Obviously, we'd lose a little bit of the angst and collision.
I don't think that's the answer. I don't think we need to change the rules. I think we need to change the mindset of the playing group. Paul, you're right. I mean, Gaelic footy is largely, a lot less physical than Australian rules football as a general rule. But they were very keen to eliminate the bump from the contest because it's not nearly a natural part of their game. So there's a bit of a caveat there. But maybe they did know more about the trauma that and the opportunities for trauma through those interactions on the field. But I don't think we need to change any rules. We need to change the mindset of the players.
It has changed
Pickett
a bit,
sure. And McAdam ones, the incidents on the weekend, I've never seen those type of incidents. I've never seen someone try and spear blokes and shoulder charge guys front on like those two have done. Now, they did it twice in 3 days. It happened twice in 3 days, which is quite remarkable, really. I reckon it's on the players in this. And Scott Pendlebury said effectively that yesterday. We had Jake Kelly say it. Jordan Lewis said it. It's on them. The rules are fine. It's the actions of the players that is coming into question on the back of this.
And you were strong on Twitter last night, Huff. I mean, let's just talk about the penalty. So Chris Soames had a big couple of weeks. He had the sling tackle with Dugowie, which is a hot issue, and now the bump. So 2 weeks for Pickett, that was graded high as far as impact, and then McAdam cops 3 as graded severe. You think that there's no difference between the two? Do you think McAdam's stiff?
I think Cozzy's lucky.
Yep.
Is what I think.
But Ware had to have a concussion test.
Why didn't Bailey Smith have a check? Or did he?
I don't think he did.
Because they have these screens on the sidelines these days where any level of head trauma or head knock, they get taken off and have a scat test if it's deemed forceful enough. And you would have to think that would have been deemed forceful enough. Not that he flushed him in the head, but he got him as a secondary incident. I was surprised that I didn't see him come off and have a bit of a check on the back of that. No, I know he's tough and all the stuff.
Well, that would have added a week.
You've got to protect them from themselves a bit.
But what about the sin bin idea? I don't mind it. And full credit to Scott Pendlebury for having an opinion and coming up with the idea. The issue, as you mentioned a bit earlier, Huff, is it's still a football act, the bump. He said that's
a non-football.
The bump
is a football act.
So it's not a strike or it's not a round arm. It's not a king hit from behind.
No, it's a football act. So that's where gets a little bit grey in the conversation because it's a legal act. If you perform it poorly, you will be penalised. But it's not like a punch or a kick or a headbutt or whatever it is. They're illegal acts. They're non-football acts. Bumping is a football act. So that's the little grey area when we have these conversations in terms of penalising them because you're allowed to do it. According to the laws, you just can't do it poorly.
And too much pressure on a third umpire, if you like, in the box or the video, having to decide, well, is that worthy of a sin
bin? Correct, that's why I'm
not. I mean, he's going to make a decision within a minute or so, look at the angles, and gee, if he gets it wrong. And I think that it'll open the game right up. If you got one less, a smart coach will surely use that.
I'm not a sin bin man. I don't like that concept, I must admit. Frank's on the line. Hello, Frank.
Yes, good morning to you. I've got the funniest way to injure yourself story.
Oh, righto, let's go.
Okay, I regularly babysit my grandchildren, and I keep a scooter over here for them to amuse themselves on when they come over.
Yes.
This particular day, they brought over their own scooters, and they've looked at me and said, well, come on, Grandad, let's go. So we're hooning around Melton and heard the police sirens, looked behind us, found that I'm at the back, they had two grandsons in front, found the police are chasing us, so we're hooning all around Melton. Got away from them, thankfully. And I haven't been on a scooter for about 15, 20 years. And I thought, well, I picked this up really easy, like getting on a bike again. So we're riding back towards home, and there's a water hazard ahead of us. So I've got my oldest grandson in the front of the line. He's gone through the water hazard, no problem. A second middle grandson, who's only five, he went through the water problem, must have hit water hazard, hit a stone and gone over the handlebars. Scraped his face as he slid along the water. And he's looked up, I'm behind it, and he's looked back, and I can see he's rubbed his face or grazed his face down over his nose, etc. So I'm scooting along behind him, and as you know, with your left leg, I'm scooting, and all of a sudden my knee gave way, and I fell off the scooter. Broke my kneecap. I got up, and started to tried to run towards him and just fell over again. Could not put any weight on this left kneecap at all.
Oh, Frank, you got to get off the scooter, my friend. Stay away from the scooters. They are dangerous little machines, those ones. My father had a bit of a tumble from the scooter one day. I know exactly what you're saying.
It's not good,
it's
huh?
It's a dangerous game, the scooter game, Stephen.
It is. That was like, a long story. Like, can we have some more detail on exactly,
Stephen,
what street it was and what time?
Disrespectful. 21 past 7, we need to get to a break. We'll be back with more shortly. More calls on the bump through the morning as well. Let us know what you think.